And just like that, we missed our flight. That's the conflict that results in the story and the solution that you'll hear today. It's a story about a trip. But for many of you, an equally important story is about negotiating the financial waters, getting your point across in a way that brings about a good result. Hi, this is Frank Buck, and this is the place to be if you want to get organized and make it look easy. My wife and I were planning a trip to Scandinavia and Iceland, a trip that was supposed to happen 2 years ago, but the pandemic pushed it backwards. It started uneventfully. We drove to Atlanta the evening before the flight, stayed at a hotel near the airport to eliminate any problem with traffic, had a nice dinner, and then we arrived in plenty of time to check in at the airport, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. Because you see, our plane that would take us from Atlanta to JFK in New York was late leaving from its last destination. Therefore, it was late getting to us and quite late taking off. Now, pilots often put the pedal to the metal to make up time, and we were confident that we would still make our flight from JFK to Iceland. However, during the flight, the clock was running faster than the miles were ticking off. So I put my head together with a couple of helpful flight attendants. They looked at their phones, and their first words got my attention. There's a slight chance you may make this flight. What? A slight chance I may make it? That means there's a much better chance that we will miss it. And so they explained the game plan. They said, your flight leaves from Terminal 7, an entirely different terminal. They explained the elevator and tram layout that would get us there. And then the next part was not good news. The way JFK is laid out, they said, you'll have to go outside to get to this next terminal, and therefore you're going to have to go through security again at Terminal 7. One of them added, you know, if either you or your wife was using a wheelchair, you could go to the front of the line. My ears perked up. Wheelchair? Why, yes, I don't think my wife is walking so well these days. So the captain ordered up a wheelchair. And in addition, the flight attendant said that when we landed, they would ask everybody who did not have a tight connection to simply remain seated so that we could get off first. Well, nearby, there was a mother who overheard our conversation, and she asked if she and her son could join our little family. So the plane lands. At the first possible second, me, my wife, and our newfound family members grabbed our stuff, hurried off the plane, and ran up the jetway. My wife takes a flying leap into the wheelchair, now manned by a young fella who could not have been more than 20 years old. He must surely have wondered why the woman who looked like she was about to win an Olympic medal in the 100-yard dash now suddenly lost the ability to walk and get around on her own. But there was no time for introductions. Terminal 7, let's go, we said. We've got to catch a flight. And so off we go, dashing across the concourse, onto the elevator, off of the elevator, onto the tram, being the first off the tram, into the terminal, and straight to security, where we got a text that it was too late. The doors were closed. Now, in the world according to Frank, the following scenario would have played out. A helpful attendant would be standing there with a tablet in hand. Hello, you must be Dr. and Mrs. Buck. You see, our system knows who's supposed to be on the flight, and our system knows also who scanned their boarding passes at the gate and who didn't, and therefore we know that you weren't on the plane. And because regulations prohibit bags from flying without their owners on board when it's an international flight, we identified your luggage, pulled it, and we have it right here for you. So you and your luggage are now reunited. So let's talk about getting you to your destination, as the helpful person would look at their tablet. Our system knows where you were headed, so it's already prepared 3 different itineraries that will get you there. Let's take a look at those and let's choose one. And if you don't like those, we can look for others. And since there's no flight out tonight, I have a list of area hotels. let's get you a reservation. And don't worry, we have arrangements with the hotel to bill the airline directly. Now, that's the world according to Frank. But in the real world, there was nobody to help us. We went to the counter to talk to someone from Iceland Air, the flight that we had just missed, but there was nobody to be found. We were able to talk to someone from another airline who knocked on a couple of doors, and finally an Iceland Air agent emerged. As soon as she heard that we missed our Iceland Air connection due to a JetBlue flight being late, her only response said it was JetBlue's fault and we needed to go talk to them back at the terminal from which we had come earlier. And where was our luggage and how would we get it? Well, there was no answer from her. So back we go, out of the terminal, to the tram, up the elevator, and to some office where we stand in line for the better part of an hour behind others who had also missed their flights. When it finally came our turn at the counter, the whole process was anything but speedy. Finally, we had a new itinerary. Our next flight would be the late afternoon of the next day on Lufthansa Airline. More on that in a moment. The next task was getting a hotel room late at night, so I was told there was a hotel right there at JFK Airport and was given a phone number to call. Great! I call the number, but they're booked. But whoever I talked to said there was a Quality Inn nearby with availability. Do I want to be connected? It's pushing 10 p.m. and we need a room. Yes, I want to be connected. Well, I was quoted a price of $224, more than I would want to pay for a Quality Inn, but it is New York where things are higher, and it is nearing 10 p.m. And, of course, there were fees and taxes, and when all was said and done, then the person was ready to take my credit card. The total was $316.30. How did $224 turn into $316, I asked. Well, lots of fees and taxes was the gist of the reply. But it's late and we need a room, so what am I going to do? We'll circle back to this saga later. The next morning, we checked out, and I asked for a hard copy receipt, knowing that I would need that in order to seek a reimbursement. I took the receipt. I put it in my briefcase with other paperwork from the trip. You'll hear more about that piece of paper and what I didn't notice about it later. When we get up, we immediately head to JFK, even though our flight's not leaving until late in the afternoon. Our mission? Find our luggage and get it somewhere so that it's going to be on that flight for late this afternoon. Now, in the world, according to Frank, we're at JFK. Our luggage is at JFK. It would certainly make sense to get the two of us together while we're both on this side of the ocean. Well, in the real world, that wasn't an option. We found that Iceland Air, well, they didn't have a flight out until after our flight would have left that afternoon, and they didn't have anybody there at the airport in case, oh, say, somebody actually needed their help for something. So wherever our luggage was, there wasn't getting it back to us in a timely fashion. Now, you might be wondering how we made it overnight and into the next day with zero luggage. Well, we had taken a small carry-on just in case, and that turned out to be a very wise move. So the first takeaway from this story is to always put in a carry-on any medication and anything that you're going to need in order to be presentable the next day just in case what happened to us happens to you. So how will we spend the rest of the day at JFK? Well, Lufthansa had an answer. Their lounge. We had a great meal, plenty of snacks, large screen TV, and a wonderful place to hang out during the day. And the flight was amazing, with seats that fully reclined into beds, meals as nice as you would get in a fine restaurant, and flight attendants who were all efficient, friendly, and all looked like they were runway models. When we landed in Munich, our destination at the end of that flight, if you think our luggage was waiting for us, you would be wrong. We went to the counter near baggage claim and completed paperwork that would ultimately result in our bags finding us. So takeaway number two for you is to take pictures of your luggage, because the form that we filled out asked for things like, who's the manufacturer of the luggage? What color is it? What size is it? So it's going to be easier to fill that paperwork out if you have a picture to go from. You know, and you'll only have to take that picture once if you take the same luggage on trip after trip. Along the way, we received email updates from the airline on the location of our luggage. And as it turned out, we wouldn't see that luggage for 4 days. Our tour guide had estimated 5 days from her own experience, so she wasn't far off. But we had purchased trip insurance, and her suggestion was go shopping, get what you need, and save your receipts. So when we were at a place in this multi-country tour where we had time at a mall nearby, shopping we went. So at a mall in Bergen, Norway, two extremely helpful clothing store employees gave us personal attention with clothing that not only got us through the next several days, but now is ours to keep forever. So takeaway number three for you, have a place to trap paperwork. I have a zippered bag that I carry with me in my briefcase. So every boarding pass, every receipt, and every other relevant piece of paper for this trip went into that zippered bag. When you get back home, it's all in one place. Takeaway number four is that in addition to paper, there's information that comes your way in the form of what other people say or what you observe, in addition to things that come to you digitally, and they all need a place to be trapped. So for me, Evernote is the place to trap that random information that you'll need later. One tap on the little Evernote widget on my phone's home screen creates a new note. Tapping on the little microphone icon on the keyboard lets me talk and has my speech turned into text. With the exception of the hiccup with the flight, which triggered the luggage puzzle, the trip was wonderful. We concentrated on having a good time, knowing that we'd have plenty of time to handle paperwork when we returned home. So when we returned home, one of our tasks was to put the paperwork in order and begin the process of being reimbursed. So we began by requesting from JetBlue reimbursement for the hotel stay and the ground transportation charges in conjunction with the missed flight. We contacted JetBlue to obtain the procedures for obtaining compensation, and we were assigned a case number. So I composed a one-page letter making my case. In that letter, I wanted to accomplish several objectives. Number one, communicate clearly the facts surrounding the missed flight and the loss it caused. For us, it meant a hotel stay, ground transportation expenses, a missed day of our tour, and the need to buy clothing. While we weren't asking JetBlue to reimburse us for all of that, we did want them to understand the full scope of what the delay caused and increase our chances of being reimbursed for what we were asking for. Number two, in that letter, I asked for exactly the remedy we sought: reimbursement for the hotel stay and ground transportation. We included the exact amount, and on the following pages, scanned copies of the receipts and relevant boarding passes. You see, when a company knows exactly what it's going to take to resolve a problem and the request is reasonable, they're more inclined to grant the request and move on, as opposed to if the ask is unclear. Number three, I wanted to make the entire communication easy to understand. So in one page with plenty of white space and bulleted points, there was the story. And then attached to it was all the other documentation. Number four, I included every piece of information they asked for. See, the last thing I wanted was for a request to sit on someone's desk because I hadn't included the case number or my full address or the flight reservation number. Follow instructions to the letter. And finally, I wanted the tone of the letter to communicate in an unemotional way what we wanted, but in a way that would let the reader know that they were communicating with a skilled writer who might well be later telling this saga to others. Well, friends, within just a few days, we were delighted to see that we received a message that our request was granted, and we were given several options for the reimbursement. And the easiest one for us was to have a credit applied to our Amazon account. That credit was applied within just a few minutes. Would you like to see a copy of the letter that I sent JetBlue? If you're in this situation and you need a model, sometimes it helps to see someone else's letter. So in the blog post, you'll see a copy of that letter. The more complex task was to assemble the packet that would give us reimbursement for the travel insurance we had purchased. They have certain forms for us to complete, but in addition, I composed a cover letter along the following lines. I had a bulleted list giving them the facts about the delay and our loss in terms of the hotel stay, loss of a day of the tour for each of us, baggage delay, and the need to purchase clothing. A second bulleted list explained the paperwork as it was organized into three packets. Packet one talked about the hotel stay, ground transportation, and the missed day of the tour. The second packet was all about the clothing my wife purchased, and the third was about the clothing I purchased. And here's why I did it that way. Our insurance allowed us a $100 per day allowance for clothing or toiletries up to a maximum of $300 each. Hence the need to break out those expenses, the ones for me, those for my wife, apart from the other things that we lost. I'm including a copy of that letter in the body of the blog post. Before we were able to complete the packet and mail it, JetBlue came through with their reimbursement. So with pen in hand, I struck through and amended my request to the insurance company and added a little explanation about the plane and the ground transportation reimbursement. That served as evidence that we're honest people and we're not trying to gyp anybody. The total packet that I sent to the insurance company was over 40 pages in length. It included a scanned copy of every boarding pass, every receipt, and every relevant piece of communication. My goal for this process was to not bog down because they needed more information. I even numbered each page so if the company had a question about anything, they could refer to a specific page by number and I could respond to their question with specific page number. The first response we received from the insurance company was disappointing. They quoted an amount for the clothing we had purchased below what I had requested. Well, here's the math that I had used. The allowance was $100 per person per day. We were each without luggage for 4 days. 4 times $100 equals $400 for each of us. The maximum allowed was $300 for each of us. My expenses came to $189.02, all purchased during one trip to the mall. For my wife, the amount was $273.93, most purchased during our trip to the mall, and toiletries purchased at another store on another day. Well, each of us was clearly below the $300, so there should have been no issue with reimbursing us for exactly what we were requesting. But the initial email awarded me only $100. You see, their interpretation of per day seemed to be a limit of $100 on any given day, but that's not the wording of the policy. In other words, if I had spent $100 one day and then gone back to the same store the next day and purchased the rest, they would have been fine. My wife faced a similar situation. So I responded in a letter that resulted in winning the appeal and being awarded the full request. I explained to them how I was seeing per day and did it in a way that I think made any other way to look at it seem trivial. One part of our request from the insurance company was to be reimbursed for the day of the tour missed. Now, we had a figure for how much the entire tour cost for each of us, but how are you going to assign a value for any one day? So I simply divided the cost of the tour by the number of days to get an amount for a day and submitted that as my request for each of us. Well, the insurance company responded that for that portion of the request, they would have to contact the tour company. Well, that's fine. But to my delight, the tour company assigned a significantly higher value than what I'd asked for. When all was said and done, I'd asked the insurance company for $1,341.76. $1,341.76. The checks, which came in three installments, totaled $2,462.95, more than $1,000 more than I asked for, and that's not counting the JetBlue reimbursement. Takeaway number five is to compose a cover letter that is so clear anybody can understand it, and then include any document that could possibly be requested. So now let's circle back to the Quality Inn, shall we? Remember how an initial price of $224 turned into a credit card charge of $316? Well, as I started going through the paperwork back home and then came up with the Quality Inn receipt, something was strange. The receipt had my name on it. That was the piece of paper that I got from Quality Inn when we checked out. I'd simply taken the piece of paper and put it in my briefcase without really examining it. But when I got back home and I did examine it, my name was on it, but the address was not my address. The address was a Connecticut address, and the last four digits of the credit card number were not the last four digits of my credit card, and the amount shown, including taxes and fees, came to $246.36. We went online to view our credit card charge and saw something interesting. A charge for the same date to Priceline Quality Inn for $316.30 and a phone number. Well, you probably know what I did at that point. I picked up the phone and I called that number and got Priceline. I'll keep private the name of the friendly voice on the other end, but when I told her about the charge, she said that I would need to call the Las Vegas Luxury Rooms and gave me a phone number. Interesting. Well, the person who answered the phone at that number identified the establishment as Four Seasons Hotels and said they had no affiliation with any Las Vegas luxury rooms. Well, a second call to Priceline netted instructions to call a different number because some third party was responsible for the charge. The number that they gave me is associated with a site called getaroom.com. You can't make this stuff up. But when I called, they instructed me to call Priceline, So now I reach out to Priceline's Twitter account, and their instructions were to call customer service, even though I explained in the message that I'd already done that. So I'm getting the royal runaround from Priceline. So takeaway number six is to do exactly what I did, and that was to pick up the phone and call American Express and dispute the difference between the price of the hotel receipt and the amount charged to my credit card. American Express immediately removed the excess charge temporarily and sent me instructions on how to send the information that would support my claim. The other party had a certain number of days to respond as to how the amount they charged was valid. Well, it was a pretty compelling letter, and they never responded. And that matter is now closed. We won that one as well. You know, we probably all have a story to tell along these lines. As emails go back and forth and phone calls are made, lots of details emerge. How do you keep up with it all? Well, friends, I have a note in Evernote called Quality in Hotel Dispute. It lists in reverse chronological order everything, who I talked to and when, the claim dispute number that American Express assigned, a PDF copy of the letter I sent to American Express. It's that, and that PDF is open, right? It's open in the body of the note, nothing to have to click on. Likewise, there's a PDF scan of the hotel bill right there in the note. And where your memory or my memory may get hazy with time, when it's documentation in a place where you can get to it, you've always got it. And that's takeaway number seven. Have a good system for digital note-taking. The next time you run into a problem, maybe something that you've heard today is going to help you. I certainly hope so. You know, you and I, if they want to take advantage of us, they're taking advantage of the wrong people. They're very reputable companies out there. At the same time, they're companies that have to have their documentation in place in order to write a check. Make it easy for them. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I hope you've gotten some value from it. If so, please leave me a comment. If you're watching on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and please come over and get on my email list over at frankbuck.org. Got two free gifts for you right off the bat. Thank you for stopping by today. This has been Frank Buck helping you get organized and make it look easy.